Hebrews chapter 2, could you stand for the reading of God's word? If we've gathered and nothing eternal happens in our souls and in this place, we've almost wasted our time. I want something eternal to happen in the service, don't you? Hebrews chapter 12, begin reading with verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. He became like us, Jesus did. That through death he might destroy him, that's the devil, that had the power of death, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. I want you to notice two words in this last verse. And there's certainly a noble theme here, but I want to focus on just these two words. In verse 15, the word lifetime and the word bondage. Lifetime, bondage. We might say life sentence today. But I want to preach on a lifetime of bondage. A lifetime of bondage. Father, I thank you that you came to be the deliverer. Lord, that hasn't stopped. You're the deliverer this morning. And I pray, Jesus, by the power of your Spirit, by the power of your blood, you would deliver someone this morning in our service. Lord, we need you in the preaching of the word, that the challenge would grow in our heart, that you're able to deliver, you're able to set free from every bondage, from every fetter. Now, Lord, anoint me as your servant to speak your word in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Amen. Brother Durth, we could have that picture. There was a controversy just a few weeks ago, and I don't know if you heard about this or not, but this company was going to put out these shoes. They were expecting it to be a real craze amongst young people. And if you can't tell what that is, it may be plastic, but those shackles there, that plastic's to symbolize or to represent a shackle and chains. I mean, can you think that our world's at this place that they're trying to make a popular item out of getting up in the morning and putting on shoes that symbolize bondage? I don't think it's going to make it to the market, but you know, they're missing one thing. People don't have to put shackles and chains on in the morning. In fact, people go to bed at night with shackles and chains on their heart and on their life. I just want you to know this thing about Christianity and knowing Jesus. It isn't about chains and shackles. It's about open prison doors and chains falling off and fetters being broken and people being set free and lives being put together. Aren't you glad he knows how to open the prison door this morning? It's just not poetry when we sing, like a bird out of prison. Amen. He set me free. That's not just poetry. That's genuinely what the Lord does for people. And he does it for people because they need it. They need to be set free. Hallelujah. Before Christ, the scripture tells us, we just read, before Christ, humans, whenever they thought of death, they were filled with fear and dread. And that fear and dread was a bondage in their life. Amen. To people, death was unknown. People didn't know what was on the other side of death. It was a dark prospect. And because of this fear of death, joy was taken out of their living. Amen. All through their existence, there was a permeation of this fear of death. And therefore, the fear of death held them in bondage. This fear of death was a drag on their joy. It was a paralyzer of their dreams. It was a prison to their soul. I'm telling you, from the time a human could actually think for himself, he realized he faced death, and that fear of death kept him in bondage throughout his life, a bondage of meaninglessness and darkness and discouragement. Did you know that human history has been a history history of bondage. And I'm not just talking about the reality where other humans have enslaved other people. I'm talking about human history is a history of bondage, because people have lived throughout the centuries with their soul and their mind and their heart in prison, in bondage, in shackles. I want to say this morning that every person has his shackle, his chain, his prison. I believe that every person born has his shackle, his chain, his prison. In fact, I like to say, even in this building, this statement is true. Every person has his shackle, his chain, his prison. Also, in the last few weeks, we've had that lawsuit, or not the lawsuit, but that court case of that coach in Pennsylvania, and all those awful things that were done to children. We heard recently where he received his sentence of 140 years. I thought of my wife's response. She said something like this. She says, "I know he deserves every bit of it and more, but you can't help thinking how horrific it is for somebody to get a life sentence. How awful it is for somebody to know they're there for good. They're never getting out. I don't think we ought to have any pity. I think justice has been served. But I'm telling you, there's still a horrible reaction to know that somebody is going to be imprisoned and never get out. I want to remind you, that's the way it is with life without Christ. Life without Christ is a life sentence of bondage with no prospects of ever getting out outside of Jesus Christ. I think we have a horror of a life sentence because of the aversion in our hearts, not just to slavery, not just to imprisonment, not just to bondage, but to add on to that, that it's for good, it's for life. It goes on and on and on. How many's ever heard somebody say, when somebody committed an awful crime, I think we ought to just throw them in prison and throw away the key? Have you ever heard that? Even that, I mean, that's a natural reaction to a horrific crime. Throw them into prison and then throw away the key. But I want to tell you, that's what happened spiritually to so many people. Satan's thrown them in prison and he threw away the key. And as far as they know, they're there for good. There's no way out. There's no way out of the bondage. Every day of existence, there are people who live in bondage and they live there convinced that there's no way out. It's for good. Oh, I'm glad I can preach the gospel. There is a way out. Hallelujah. You don't have to stay there in that imprisonment. Even I recently was acquainted with some of the reading about prison life and seeing it there. And those men on life are on death row with life sentences, or on death row many times are put in a 6x8 cell. And they'll try to exercise and try to read, but it gets to every one of them pacing a 6x8 cell. That's like two steps, because the bed is there. Two steps they pace until they literally go crazy. The human spirit is not made for bondage. The human spirit is made to soar in the presence of God. What an awful thing. People that are slaves, people in prison, people tied up with fetters, people dragging around ball and chain, in bondage of spirit, in bondage of soul, in bondage in the inner person, in bondage of the mind. And add to that fact that they are convinced that it must be for their life, a life sentence. You see, a lifetime of bondage, it's not just that maybe you're that way from a baby, but it's since you can remember, since you were self-conscious, you were aware of this fetter on your spirit. It's kind of like legally you can be 18 or 25 or 45, but it's all the same when you get a life sentence. That thing characterizes, dominates your life. Oh, but I'm here to preach this morning, not just how bad the bondage is, but I'm here to preach that there is a deliverer. There is one who can set the human spirit free. In fact, before he began in his ministry, he went to the synagogue, took the scroll of Isaiah, and he began to read as an introduction to his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, listen, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Yes, people are living in a lifetime of bondage, but that does not hinder Jesus. He is able to set them free. For this purpose he came 2,000 years ago, and for this purpose he's shown up in this service to set somebody free. How many knows he can do it? Because he's done it for you. Hallelujah. I know in our text this morning that it was the fear of death, but there are other types of bondage. Amen. Before Christ, nobody has ever been set free. And without Christ, nobody will ever, from this point on, be set free. But he came to set free from every kind of bondage. Our text mentions fear of death. I know our young people are helping me preach this morning. I appreciate that. But I want to talk to you briefly about some other kinds of bondages that people are in. For all of us, there is the bondage of sin. Isn't it interesting what the scripture calls bondage, the world calls freedom? But the apostle said, be careful to look at their lives, because they promise you that their life is a life of freedom. But if you'll look closely, the apostle said, you'll see chains hanging all over them. Amen? Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. One time in the Sunday school hour, the adults in their class heard an awful commotion coming from the children's section of Sunday school. And so a big group of parents and different leaders of the church, they started making their way to the Sunday school room. They're going to check it out. About that time, one of the students came out of the room and saw the adults there, and she looked at him. She knew they were there to investigate what was going on. And this little girl looked at him and said, we're being bad in there, and we don't know how to stop. I'm telling you, that's the way we were in sin. We were being bad, and we didn't know how to stop. In fact, we didn't think we could stop. We thought that's the way that life was, because the human is born into bondage. You can read it in some of Dickens' novels and that time period where they would throw adults in prison. And here's an expectant mother, and her baby is born in prison. And the baby then stayed with the mother. And that child never knew anything but prison life. That child had been born in a prison and lived in a prison and served the sentence with its mother. I'm telling you, that is in Dickens' novel, but it's also in the Bible. We are born in sin. We are born with the fallen nature. We are born set in our lives to sin. Hallelujah. That's what the scripture teaches. None teaches, has to teach a man how to sin. He sins. He's born into a lifetime of bondage. Jesus was talking to those Jews, and to emphasize this, he tried to be positive. He said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Instead of saying, thank God, set me free then, they tried to argue with him. They tried to deny it. In verse 33, they answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? I know somewhat of what Jesus experienced, because there were times that I knew in my spirit that there were folks that were bound by sin, and I preached to them, Jesus Jesus will set you free. And they looked at me like I was an idiot. Everything's fine with me. That's what these people, Jesus gave them the opportunity. The Son will set you free. They looked at him and said, we've never been in bondage to any man. These were Jews. You know what they were doing? Brother May, they were flat out lying. Because as a nation, the Jews had often been in bondage. What about Egypt's bondage, Assyrian captivity, Babylonian captivity? In fact, they were lying because right then they were under bondage to Rome. But it wasn't just a national bondage. They were lying because every one of them had been born into bondage, born into sin. Did you know today there are folks that still lie about their bondage? Yes, sir. They'll look at you and say, I'm not addicted to that. I'm not addicted to pornography. I'm not addicted to alcohol. They'll look at you and say, I don't have any bondage in my life. I can quit that thing anytime I want. They're like, I just got a suggestion. Instead of denying your bondage and lying about it, won't you just lift up your heart and say, thank God he has promised he could set me free. I'm not here to deny it. I'm here to be set free. Amen. The bondage of sin. How many knows you can't set a person free if he doesn't believe he's bound? I want to tell you one more time, Jesus can set no one free who doesn't believe he's bound. You can open the prison door and that person will sit right there and never walk out. But I'm glad there may be a bondage of sin, but Jesus came to deliver us and save us from sin. How many remembers when he forgave your sins and set you free from a life of sin? Another bondage I want to talk about is the bondage of fear. Not just the fear of death as in our text, but there's a lot of people that live in the bondage of fear. Some fear diseases like cancer. Some fear their spouse is going to betray them. Some fear failure. Some fear loss. Some are afraid and they're not sure what it is they're afraid of. But they live a slave to their fears. They're always thinking that the worst is just about to happen. This fear sweeps over them in the night and paralyzes them in the daytime. I believe it was about 16 when I first realized this type of fear and encountered it for often. And then when I was 18, I was in high school, a senior, and we were given a literature project to write a poem. And I got to thinking about this fear, and if you'll indulge me, I just want to share that poem I wrote when I was 18 as a senior in high school. And I want you to think about the fear. At least it captured it for me. Here's what I wrote. My head is on my pillow. My heart is filled with fear. My chest is a heaving billow. And oh, what is that sound I hear? Is it a thief to take my life? A madman who does not but rave? One filled with awful strife to make me feel death's chilly wave? But time passes on, and visions cloud my intellect. But I hear not my heart's bong and my terrible foe I have not met. It never came to reality, but the fear was there. How many of those people live in bondage to fear? I don't think medicine can help that kind of bondage. It can null it, or it can dull it. It can mask it. But I know a Savior who can deliver from fear. In fact, he was all the time saying, fear not. Aren't you glad to serve a Lord like that? I don't care how bad that fear is in your heart. If you would listen, he would walk in your life this morning and say, fear not. In fact, one time he said to the disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You don't have to fear anymore, because Jesus can set you free from the bondage of fear. And make no mistake about it, fear is a bondage. Fear of tomorrow, fear of what the future holds, fear of the unknown enemy, fear of Satan, fear of disease, fear of suffering. But I'm telling you, he's greater than your fear. Put your faith in him in place of fear. He'll give you the peace of Christ that passeth understanding to keep your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. I'm just reminded Brother Vint got a good report this week. After surgery, they got the cancer. Amen. Amen. And God was helping him before the surgery with this fear thing, because he's a deliverer from fear. Another bondage is the bondage of the memory and pain of abuse. There are folks, for no fault of their own, as a child or maybe even older, they were abused, they were taken advantage of, they were molested. And now that they're adults, they still can't escape what happened to them as a child. It haunts them. Amen. The person that abused them has brought them to a place that they take that pain, they take that memory into every other relationship that they have. I want you to know this morning, it is insidious. It's a horrible thing for any person to abuse or molest a child or a teenager, because amongst all other things, to do that is to subject their victim to a lifetime of awful bondage. The memory of that, the pain of that, most never escape it. It taints everything of their life. It drags them down. It destroys their prospects of life. But having said that, and I would not minimize that pain and that memory of abuse one little bit, but having said that, that explains some things about your life. But that is still not a reason you can't be delivered. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, he can set you free from the memory and the pain of past abuse. I know it's a horrible thing, but there is a wonderful deliverance that can lift you above that and give you victory. You don't have to sit a victim all your life. You can rise up and be a conqueror through Jesus Christ. How many believes that? Christ can set you free. He can heal the wound. He can loose you from the hold of that memory. He can free you to escape your past and enter the bright future he has for you as a child of God. Oh, I believe that. You know, this is frightening, because statistics say now that between 3 in 5 or between 4 in 5 children today are somehow taken advantage of before they become adults. I mean, this world's doing everything it can to destroy people. And that may happen when you're 5, but it'll still be there when you're 50. Unless you let the Lord give you victory and freedom. None of that to minimize. There's no minimizing. But there is deliverance. And then there's the bondage of guilt. Folks are walking around with the shackles. Guilt over the past. Regrets of wrongs that you've done. Stupid mistakes. Anyone ever make a stupid mistake? Only 3 honest people in the whole congregation. I'm changing my message to lying. Hallelujah, right now. In fact, when you get older, you tell yourself. I did something the other day. I said, Hurst, that's stupid. I know some people don't like that word, but there's not a better one for it. Stupid mistakes. Willfully, you live knowing you willfully have hurt somebody. Guilt. Every time you try to move forward, every time you just begin to live victoriously, Satan shows up and reminds you of that sin that you have done. In the middle of the night, amen, it comes to you. You're guilty. Think of what you've done. In the middle of a good service, in the middle of the moving of the Spirit, suddenly a voice speaks and says, not so fast there to feel God's blessings. Not so fast. Don't you remember what you've done? Amen. Sometimes you even go and fail again because the guilt of what you did in the past pulls you down. Oh, but the prophet said, remember not the sins of my youth. And you may be in the bondage to guilt, but my Bible says, if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My Bible says if we confess and repented, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. My Bible says if my heart condemn me, God is greater than my heart. If it's underneath the blood, the guilt
guilt should be gone. He delivers from guilt. You know why? Because he genuinely forgives the wrong. No need of trying to get rid of the guilt when the wrong is still there. But I'm telling you, he takes away the wrong as far as the east is from the west. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he took our sins away? No guilt, only thankfulness. Let's praise him for that. Would you do that? We don't have to live in guilt. Wouldn't you love for God to set someone free this morning? And then there's the bondage of bitterness. And I want to be clear again, just because I tell you, you need to let go of your bitterness and that Jesus can set you free. That does not again minimize what's been done to you. And it doesn't relieve the person that offended you for taking care of it themselves, himself. But I do want to tell you that bitterness isn't going to hurt the other person that offended you. Bitterness is going to hurt you. Bitterness does not bind the person that offended you. Bitterness binds you. Right? Oh, hallelujah. I'd like to see this morning somebody let Jesus deliver them from bitterness, because it is a root that will spread through your life and bring bondage to every corner. In fact, I know you're bitter. You say, how can you tell you're bitter? Here's just a few ways. You really can't stand the person that's harmed you. I mean, just the thought of them makes an unpleasantness all over you. You boil over when the one who's done you wrong prospers or someone says a good word about them. You just boil over in your heart. In fact, you know you have bitterness if you go over and over and over that thing. It's been 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and in the night you go over that wrong and go over that wrong. You know you're bitter when you begin to imagine, even secretly pray, that person will get what they should have coming to them. Even you know you're bitter when you hear that person's name. You think of him, you think of her, and your mouth gets an awful taste, and your brow wrinkles up, and your lips begin to snarl. I want you to know bitterness will turn to anger and the desire for revenge. Bitterness will turn to hate, but it'll do more than that. It'll make you so you can't savor any good thing of life. You can't have a good time because bitterness is always there as a nasty pile in your mouth. Bitterness hurts you. It's destroying you. It's a bondage. It won't let you go. You've tried to forget about it. You said, I won't think about it. You try to put it aside, but here it comes again. But I want you to know, if I read the book right, hallelujah, Jesus can deliver you from the bondage of bitterness. Glory to God. You know how he delivers? He didn't just take away the bitterness. He replaces it with something else. He replaces it with the joy of the Lord, a gratitude for the goodness of God. Oh, I want you to know, you may be bitter about something, and you know that thing came to you. That person's face floated by when I started talking about bitterness. It's been with you. Just think of what it's done to your life. It sapped the joy right out of your life. It's kept you from good experience. But I'm telling you, Jesus can set you free from bitterness. He knows no bitterness. He looked at those that had nailed him to the cross. He looked at those that had crucified and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If he could forgive them like that, he knows the way to victory over bitterness. And then there's the bondage of hurt. This is just an analogy. I'm not demeaning anybody. But we used to always have beagles, hunting beagles, when I was growing up. And sometimes we'd get them from other people. And you know this. But a dog that was beaten as a pup will forever shy away from sudden movement. You raise your hand for any, you can raise your hand to scratch your head, and here they go. Why? Because they have been hurt. And being hurt, they're filled with mistrust. There are people who have been abandoned by their parents. Even if their parents still live in the same house, they've been abandoned emotionally. They really have no parent. There are folks you've been talked about, had rumors spread on you. I maybe shouldn't say this, just came to me as an illustration. I'll try to make it real narrow here. But I drove onto the campgrounds Monday night, and a man met me, and he said, "I've been hearing all kinds of things about you." I knew I was going to be preaching this Sunday, so I just let the Lord help me right then. I just rubbed it off. Kind of like that other, you know, that fellow that followed me through that door that time, remember, and said, "I don't care what other people out there are saying about your singing, I like it." He said, "Everybody's been talking about you." I looked at my wife, "You've been talking about me?" She hadn't, so at least one person hadn't been talking about me. Thank God. How many knows that hurts? That hurts. Your best friend turn. How many's ever had a best friend turn on you? Spouse, a boyfriend, a girlfriend's been unfaithful and betrayed you. That type of injury, that type of hurt can dominate your whole perspective of life and how you live from there on out. But I know a balm in Gilead. I know one that already took my wounds that he might heal my hurt. There's some deep hurts, but I'm telling you, the love of God can reach awfully deep. There are some awful injuries in the very soul of man, but the grace of God can soak down awfully far. How many believes he can deliver from the bondage of hurt? I've got to quit the list in a moment, but I want you to know this morning, he can deliver from the bondage of addictions. I think we live in a time when there's more addictions than there has almost ever been. With the access that we have through internet and the access we have to things by our mobility, many are caught in an endless cycle of addictions. It may be drugs, it may be alcohol, it may be gambling, it may be pornography. And it always creates a pattern. There's a euphoria of the adrenaline or the drug from being involved in that thing. But following that, there's a down that's deeper than the high. And following that down, there's the guilt and the shame and the regret. And then the shame and regret is so deep that there's a return to the addiction for a pick-me-up, a return to the addiction to stop the voices, to drown out the guilt. And every time the addiction is returned to the thing of the addiction, the bondage is only increased, and it is increased further by the cover-up of the addiction. Every time you cover up your addiction to that computer screen, you've only increased your bondage. Amen. Every time you cover up your addiction to alcohol, you've only increased that bondage. I was thinking the other day along these lines. When someone's addicted, I know it's their fault. I really believe that they may a choice somewhere down the line. Amen. They may not be making a choice today when they tip the bottle up, but somewhere back there they made the choice to take the first drink. And so I know it's their fault. I know they chose to take the drink, smoke the cigarette, buy that sordid magazine, visit that internet site. But still knowing it was their choice, it's still an awful thing when you think of what bondage they're in. There's not a moment of the day that goes by that chain doesn't rattle when I think of the torment of their soul and the guilt that they live with and the pain. Listen, it may be an addiction. They might have got themselves into it, but don't just leave them there. Amen. We need to preach that we serve a Christ that can break the bondage of addiction. Amen. He can cure an alcoholic. He can cure a drug addict. He can cause someone addicted to pornography to be set free. So when they come to church, it's not something sordid that passes through their mind, but it's just the glories of God that fill their heart. He can deliver from the bondage of addiction. I'm not preaching to the wind this morning. Somebody here needs set free from the bondage of addiction. It's not just that Jesus takes away the desire for and the dependency on that thing. He can do that, and he may do that. It's deeper than that. It's that Jesus will meet that deep need that brought about that addiction. Jesus will meet the need that caused a person to reach out to that thing of addiction. Aren't you glad he can do it? I didn't preach that, but that's why people get addicted. They got needs. They're not letting God meet. And so they're turning to another quarter. Brother Rose, he can meet the deepest need of the human heart. Hallelujah. Oh, there's no time. No time. Just one or two more. He delivers from the bondage of self-loathing. Amen. You know, there's some people, they really can't stand themselves. Some people, you can see why. How many knows, folks, some folks really struggle with not liking themselves? Some people struggle with liking themselves too much. But if you stripped off that facade, that may just be a cover-up because down deep they really don't like themselves. Bondage. You tell yourself things. You tell yourself you're nothing. You're a failure. You're worthless. And if you don't tell yourself, you hear another voice telling you those things. You're paralyzed by thoughts of your inadequacy. Your self-assumed inferiority. And over and over and over, you repeat to yourself Satan's suggestion that you're a failure. You're a disappointment in life. And you begin to hate everything about you. You don't like the way you do. You don't like the way you look. You don't like the way you converse with people. You don't like what has went on in your life. You just hate yourself. Amen. Look, we would say this to somebody if they hated another person, but I want to say it to you, if you hate yourself. You may hate yourself, but you need to realize God loves the person you hate. If you're hating yourself, you've got to know this. God loves the person you hate. God gave his life for the person you hate. Oh, how you're not to be hated because God loves you. I'm not talking about falling in love with yourself, but you fall in love with God and recognize how much he loves you and how much you mean to him. Suddenly you'll find yourself not hating yourself, but thanking God that he's made you his child. Oh, hallelujah. We could stay there for a while, but let's move on to the last, and you can add to the list. But he can deliver from the bondage of discouragement and depression. This is one of the biggest tools we know as a Christian that Satan uses against we believers, all people, but it's particularly believers. Let's do a quick poll here. How many's ever been discouraged? Amen. That's as many hands if I ask you how many's ready to go eat dinner. That was as many hands right there. Because lots of folks get discouraged. Now look, when you're not discouraged, it's easy for you to tell the person that is discouraged what to do. Well, you just get a hold of your bootstraps and pull yourself up. Right? Don't wallow there in your self-pity. Get up! Get up! Isn't it easy when you're not the one discouraged to tell people what to do? It's kind of like hospital visitation. When you're standing on the side of the bed looking down, it's easy to have a lot of faith and say things like, oh, this is a beautiful day, isn't it? It's different when you're the one lying there looking at the ceiling. I'm just telling you, discouragement is a real bondage. It's a real trap. It's a real bondage that we need help many times extracting ourselves from. But I want you to know, he took on our nature, as the text said. And he knows what it is to fight that battle. And he knows how to deliver the discouraged. Oh, hallelujah. Have you ever come to church discouraged? By the time God got through, there was a joy unspeakable and full of glory. He knows how to deliver from the bondage of discouragement. I know it's that maybe joy is the opposite of discouragement, but when I always think of discouragement, I think of darkness, and in thinking of darkness, I think of light. You know, discouragement can be an awful dark place to live in, but we serve a God who's able to make the marvelous light of the Lord Jesus Christ shine in your darkness. You say you don't know how dark it is in my innermost heart. His light will reach even there. How many remembers the time when the light of Jesus shined in your heart? He can deliver from the bondage of discouragement and depression. More can be said, but I'm going to close. Amen. So many have lived a lifetime of these kinds of bondages, and even ones I didn't mention. This day, today, this bondage is dominating so many people's lives, their time, every situation that they're in. But I want to share two things with you in closing. Number one, when I tell you that Jesus can deliver from long time, lifetime bondage, I'm telling you the word backs it up. Let me give you one example. One example. How many remembers that lady with the spirit of infirmity? The Bible says he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. And if Jesus hadn't come, that would have went on till she died. It would have been 20, 22, 25, 30, 40 years. But she had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. You can be so far down in discouragement, you cannot lift up yourself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him. Now here's the thing, and I can't preach this. I'm starting to want to, but I can't preach it. I don't know where she was sitting in that church when Jesus called her, but she's bowed down and Jesus calls her to him. That means that she had to go with her problem visible to everyone. She had to go with her problem all the way to where Jesus was. I'm telling you, you may be discouraged. You may have bondages, but if he calls you this morning, don't just sit there. You may have to get up with your bondage. You may even walk down the aisle with your bondage. You may still be stooped over when you bow down. But if he's called you, I want you to know, just step on out and say, today's the day he's going to deliver me from my bondage. Hallelujah. Jesus saw her, called her, said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from 18 years of infirmity. Thou art loosed from 20 years of infirmity. Thou art loosed from 25 years of infirmity. Thou art loosed from a lifetime of bondage. I'm telling you, when he speaks it, the shackles start falling off. The chains, the prison door goes open. How we know he can do it for you this morning. Would you come, music? He laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorify God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As the music's coming, a year ago, there was a movie made. One of the stars was not an actor before the movie. The guy's last name, Robert, has a kind of hard last name. But for 40 years of life, he had lived a horrible life. And most of that 40 years, he had spent in prison, juvenile homes, and later prison. He got out of prison in 2001, but he couldn't get a job because of his record. He lived a horrible life. He's riding a subway one day, and there was a director, and I don't even know the name of the movie, but there's a director doing research for a movie, and he saw Robert, and he said, you know, he looks like someone I might need in my movie. And he got to talking to him and found out that Robert had spent most of his life in prison. And he said, you're perfect. Huh? He said, yeah. And it shocked the movie world when this director made Robert one of the stars in the movement. The guy had never acted before. But you see, this director needed a man. The movie was about prison, and he needed a man that knew what prison life was all about. And he put Robert on the set there, and it made him one of the main ones in the movie. And they went to, I believe it's Long Island, where the penitentiary is. They went to Long Island. They were shooting some of the film there on location. And so Robert was in this cell. And you know how things get held up in the movie? Something held the movie up. So he was in the cell, and he was a little tired, so he dozed off. And he awoke, this just last year. He awoke. He hadn't been in prison for about 9 years, but he awoke, and when he awoke, his mind was still clouded with sleep. And he thought he had awakened back in that time when he really was in prison. And he sat there on that bed and began to weep profusely, thinking, I'm in prison. I never got out. he wept and wept. And then as he wept, he began to get his senses about him. And it dawned on him. It dawned on him. No, this isn't the time when I was back in prison and couldn't get out. I'm here to do this movie. Anytime I want to, I can get up off this bed. I can walk through that door and go back to that life of freedom. And the tears were dried up and a joy came on his face. And he strode out of that cell saying, I don't have to stay there. You know, listen, that Satan would like to remind us of our life of sin. He'd like to convince even believers that we're still bound. And so believers sit around in a cell and they weep and cry and talk about how bad the bondage is. If we would just realize Jesus has set us free, and any time we wish we can get up from the bed and walk through the open door, we are not in bondage. He has delivered his people. Would you stand and worship the bondage breaker this morning? Would you worship him all over the building? Thank him for what he's done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. He set me free. Oh, thank God I'm free. Free. Free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Been born again. I'm saved. Don't sit there weeping and crying in your prison. The door has been unlocked. The shackles have been taken off. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to give an invitation. You're here this morning. You need Jesus to deliver you from a bondage of your life. I'd like you to come right now this morning. Don't hesitate. You need deliverance from some bondage in your life. Are there others? You'd come right now. I need deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know a better time to have a deliverance service than during a freedom service. He's going to set some folks free. Are there others? Come on, let's be on. You need deliverance from some bondage. Come on, don't hesitate. God the Spirit has spoken to you. You need deliverance from some bondage. You'll need some prayer warriors to help us pray this morning. Amen. Come up to these that are knelt. You need. I'm still asking for those. Either you have a bondage in your life or you're coming to pray with someone that's already come. Amen. There's others. Look around here. I need some of you to look around and see those that are coming for prayer. Amen. Amen. Look at these that are coming for prayer. Hallelujah. In fact, it's getting so I don't know who's coming for what. I just want to make sure everyone's prayed for you. That are still back here, if you're not coming for prayer for yourself, I want you to come right now and pray for one of these that are in the altar. Amen. I'm trying to point at some here that need someone to pray with them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right over here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And let's pray for deliverance. I want you to believe that last story. If you've given your heart to Christ, amen. If you've asked him to forgive you, amen. I need some ladies right here, over here. Some ladies right here where Brother Wilson's standing, in front of Brother Wilson right here. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Even if you've asked the Lord, come on, let's pray. Let's believe it. It's not just good sounding words. It's the truth. Jesus is here. Hallelujah. Woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. Hallelujah. You say, you don't know how long I've had this. It doesn't matter. He delivers from a lifetime of bondage. He delivers from a lifetime of bondage. Oh, hallelujah. This brother, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Let's pray for these. Come on, let's pray. If you've been born again, you don't have to sit on the bed weeping. The prison door has been opened. Hallelujah. He's taken off the shackles. Come on, let's pray, church. Pray against that bondage. He sets a captive free. He sets the captive free. He sets the captive free. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
Chain is strong enough.